or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome aboard to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It is 7:05, November the 24th, and we did not freeze to death last night.
Got a bit nippy. It was beautiful this morning.
Got a little nippy last night, if we're allowed to say that. The I think it got down to like 29. So, good morning. So, welcome to our last day before Thanksgiving extravaganza weekend. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. We're also chatting there, so get on the chat room and tell us what you're going to be doing. What do you think about Thanksgiving? What about traveling? We've got a lot of things we're going to cover today. We've got a number of items I want to talk about, and then we've got Valerie Miller coming in from the Cascade. She's going to be talking about all the things that are going on in this holiday season. And we're going to have Mayor Patrick Jones on, who's going to be making some announcements that he said are important to the community and the impacts it could have on the community. So stay tuned to that. That'll start at 8 o'clock. But let's start off with something that's keeping, I'm sure, all of you on tether hooks last night. That's right. Dancing with the Stars. Okay, Dancing with the Stars. You know, it's a mindless show where people go out and they pick athletes and former movie stars and former TV stars or young TV stars. And if you've never seen the show, don't worry, you're not missing it. Just pick. I'm going to give you the whole season here. Okay, it starts off, and what they do is they pick I think it's 12 stars. They call them stars. It could be, anybody. Celebrities. Okay, yeah, that's right. It should be Dancing with the Celebrities. Like David Hasselhoff from Hawaii. What was that? What was that one where?
Baywatch. And of course, Knight Rider.
And Knight Rider. And then, of course, Pamela Anderson had been on there. So all these people have gone there. So, and it gets down. They dance every week. And they do, it appears that they're trying hard. And then these three judges, give them a score. Then the people vote. Well, this year had Bristol Palin. Sarah Palin's daughter was in it. Well, Bristol is not one of the best dancers out there. She's young, and she was not one of the best dancers. But she continued to persevere in there. And as the people voted, it turns out that a lot of people that supported her mom, bloggers, talk show hosts and such, jumped into the fray, vote for Palin. And anyway, to make a long story short, it got to the finals last night. Palin was still there, Jennifer Grey, and another young man whose name escapes me, but was a likable fellow. And Jennifer Grey won. The one that played Baby in Dirty Dancing,
yes.
who's had her face completely changed, doesn't even look like the Jennifer Grey. If you ever saw Dirty Dancing, you would not recognize her. Hmm. Her whole face has changed. And over Bristol Palin. So, but the big thing was that, Bristol Palin was supported by all of the conservative blogs, that she never had a chance if it wasn't for that. Well, frankly, I've talked 3.5 minutes about it, which is 3.5 minutes I will not ever gain back. And nor, really, when it gets right down to the bottom of it, do I care. But, it's making the papers, it's making the rounds. So anyway, Jennifer Grey won, and since I get to watch it, because Linda watches it, Jennifer Grey, congratulations for winning Dancing with the Stars. We're going to take a break. We come. I swear. When I come back, we're going to be talking about travel, because it's that big time of the year. More people travel during this week than any other time. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about full body scans. We're going to be talking about pat downs. We talked about it a little bit earlier this week, but I think we can finish this up today. And of course, Obama telling the middle class that We want to take care of you, yet we see nothing happening. GM actually starting to pay money back. Not all the money they owe us, but paying money back. And, of course, the Tea Party. Tea Party is in the news again. Carla Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Oh, wait a minute. Where's Linda? Bob? Linda's down in Sacramento.
Linda is on a shopping mission.
It is. She's on a mission to shop and is down in Sacramento. She's been down there with her girlfriend. So, we miss her here. Anyway, we're going to also be talking. Yes, she is, because sometimes I start ramping up here. You know, the other thing we want to talk about before we go to our break, you know, Bad Bob, you're good. Bad Bob's our producer. He has been with us from the beginning and takes all the abuse, and he just loves it. Bad Bob, what are you going to do on Thanksgiving? Are you going to cook turkey?
We're actually going to go see some friends over in Eureka. We were thinking of taking the boat, but travel over the passes have to be a bit tricky over the weekend, so we're going to forego that. But we're going to go over and do some crabbing in Humboldt Bay and share Thanksgiving with good friends.
Well,
that's what it's all about, you know.
That's true. That's what Thanksgiving is about. But, you know, what are you all going to do out there? What are people up here in the North State? What are you going to do? You're going to stay home? You're going to fry a turkey, which I understand tastes great, but it could be dangerous. Are you going to just do your regular bacon a turkey? Is anybody out there going to fry a turkey? And if so, how do you fry a turkey? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It's the 24th of November, 7:14 in the morning. And Bob, what's the temperature today?
34 degrees. We did not get down to pipe-busting weather last night, but it's still going to be cold today. Tonight's low also around 29, and sunny for your Thanksgiving Day, but some weather moving in over the weekend.
Okay, travel. You know, they're finding that the vast majority of the people don't really care if they go through those scanners or not, which is scary to me. But the other thing, too, then, is that's pat-down. It's very intrusive. But I heard that, I heard this on Laura Ingram yesterday. You know, I listened to our show. And what she said, where somebody on the show said, is, look, if I'm going to be patted down, then I should be able to have my choice of the patter. You know, why does it have to be some big guy named Bruno? Why can't it be the blonde over there named Bambi? So why does it have to be a person of the same sex? Why can't you have somebody say, hey, look, I'm really, really uncomfortable having some guy touch me everywhere, but it's okay if she does it. So what do you think of that, Bob? Bob,
like I said,
you're getting excited there,
that
Bob.
That commercial the other night with the two attractive women strip searching the tennis star was the upshot of the commercial. It was like,
oh,
okay.
They were making that beep beep sound.
Yeah,
making a beep. Okay, well, that's it's the thing is that where most people do find they don't like the pat down portion. People are opting for security. You know, I'm not sure is it making it more secure. The one thing I'd just like to see one time, is some statistics that say that we have prevented X amount of people from going on, or we have found X amount of things connected to people that are on the don't fly list or on a list that that we should be looking at them, and they had these this material on them. They had knives, they had box cutters, they had nuclear devices, something. I mean, we're going through all this, and every one of us is being profiled. As opposed to people who cause a lot of the problems. And it's true, Bruce Ross said, is that, hey, they're not all male, Muslim types between the age of 18 and 34. Yeah, well, most of them are, but they're not all. That one guy was a Caucasian, Reed, the shoe bomber. But, the bottom line, though, is this, is how much of a personal freedom does it take? Are you willing to do it? It comes through the Israelis. Israelis don't do this kind of thing, but the Israelis have a force, a defense force, and a security force around the airports where you're getting five or six checks before you get on that plane, including the part where, starting from the time you drive in. We've talked about this. So, now you've got some people who says, we're going to opt out of the X-rays, and we want to be, we want to have the body searches as our protest to hold up traffic. Well, Thanksgiving being the largest travel holiday of the year, your protest, could or could not work, but you're going to put a lot of people at odds with trying to get on their planes if you have it backed up for 2 hours.
So you're going to annoy 30 people behind you and then climb into a small cylindrical tube with them for a couple of hours. That could be a bit tense.
Hey, Obama says we need those tax cuts for the middle class. You know, and, but not those rich people. You know, we were talking about this yesterday. $250,000, does it make you rich? Does that make you a rich person? Is that $250,000 net? Is that $250,000 total? You know, before you pay out everything? Is that before you pay your taxes? Is that before you pay your mortgages and your food costs and all that? Or is that a net from your business? Because, as you know, most of the people making $250,000 are small business owners. That's who it's going to hit. And you know what? And the other thing, too, is how, you know, it kind of is surprising is that the weekly unemployment rate dropped by, you know, more than 35,000. They thought it was going to be like 438, and it's 407. But that kind of, you know, I don't know if that makes up for those many weeks they thought it was going to drop, and it just kept rising. So it's been the lowest since, I think, 2008. But the point still is that we're still at 9.8% unemployment. You've got the Federal Reserve and others saying is that it doesn't look good for the next 2 or 3 years. In Shasta County, you've got the median income. I'm sorry, the median home price hits a 7-year low. As I found out that when we bought our house, we were at the peak in 2006. So since then, it's dropped considerably, you might say. We got to take a break. You know, we're going to come back. We're going to be talking. Who's ever fried a turkey out there? If you fried a turkey, pick up the phone, give me a call. Is it worth it? I mean, what happens? I mean, frying a turkey, you just drop it in a big bucket of oil and fry it. I mean, is fried turkey good? Bob's shaking his head up
my
and down.
My brother does that. My brother does that. There are some things
you
need
to do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you need to talk to me about that. This is because I think I may have had fried turkey one time, but I wasn't sure. You know, they were talking about different types of turkey there. Usually, the turkeys we talk about range close to assembly, you know, assembly buildings and
the non-winged variety.
The non-winged variety. Yeah, that's right. Okay, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. You know what? Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Let's be a little kinder and gentler here as we come back. KCNR 1460. Good morning. Phone line 605-4567. We're streaming and chatting on KCNR 1460. You know, Angel says that she never fries turkeys because she loves the smell of turkey roasting
is,
in the house.
That's good.
That's cool. Hey, on this date in 1871, the National Rifle Association was incorporated. How about that? There's a bunch of other things in here that I guess you could say might be important, but you know what? We'll just close it on that one. The NRA incorporated this date, 1871. All right, I said we'd be kinder and gentler. I lied. All right, you know, the North Korean, South Koreans. North Korea shells South Korea. They wake up President Obama at 4 in the morning, his national security advisor. They give him day-long briefings. President Obama says, you guys have really tweaked me here. And that we are standing shoulder to shoulder with the South Koreans. This is, if you've been following this, and people asked me about this yesterday. I was down at, of course, Cypress Square Barbershop, where I got my haircut.
Men.
You know, it is. You know, and, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, I found out that they do have, all this time, they do have this little jar of hair gel. I said, you know, I've been saying you guys don't have hair gel. You got butch wax. No, we have this little jar of hair gel for Rick Bay. You know, he's in a Rich Bay's hair. I don't understand
all three
this.
Of them?
Well, no, he's growing his hair out now. So, but going back to the Koreans, everybody is asking on a little bit of a serious note. They said, what do you think is going to happen? Well, if you look at over the last 2 years since the Obama administration has taken over, the North Koreans have shot rockets up. They've over Japan. They have done more provocative things. They sunk the ship last year. You know, they denied, of course, it was a submarine and the only one in the area just happened to be theirs. It sunk this ship, and now this island, which has been one of contention for years, the South Koreans are having military maneuvers, and the North Koreans fire over 200 artillery shells into this place. The South Koreans reacted. I think a couple of South Korean Marines and some civilians were killed. But if you take a look at the damage, it just, you know, destroyed much of that town there. Well, there go the aircraft carrier USS George Washington's heading into the bay out there off South Korea. Oh, that's, but that was already planned. Of course, these maneuvers were already planned. They should send maybe a couple carriers in. You know, the question is what's going on? Yeah, they're looking at their nuclear, making a new nuclear generator there, a way of generating nuclear power, but also being able to get weapons grade. They've also got their, Kim Il-jung is wanting to hand over the reins to his son. And, you know, so is this something that has to go along with it? Is the military, they're upset about something, and they're just making, Kim Il-jung's making a point and pandering to them? There's a lot of questions there. But just remember, the bottom line is the Chinese control them. Yes, that's true. The Chinese control them. They may be like a recalcitrant child sometimes, the North Koreans, but then the only thing the Chinese have to do is turn off the oil spigot, which goes into their country, and which they've done before. And it takes like a day and a half, and the North Koreans just, you know, come right back to heel. So when you start having problems there, you know, you need to talk to the Chinese about what's going on. You know, again, this is just maybe, you know, bellicose acts by North Korea to gain attention to, like a child that needs a little attention around the holidays. So, the holidays. You know, you come up and you see the where people are heading out. This is the largest travel weekend. You know, people driving. And by the way, the cost of gas, I think, is up like 15 cents from last year or 20. You look at, you know, going home and seeing your family, seeing your friends, your family coming to you. And let's not forget those warriors, our military, those people that are deployed around the world that will get a Thanksgiving dinner. In some cases, they'll go to the mess hall in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they will have turkey, dressing, gravy, the whole thing. Anything that you might be having, they're going to have. That's some of them.
Yeah.
Some will eat on ships. Some will eat in hangars. Some will eat not exactly that when they're out on a combat outpost. When they're pushed out forward and they're under fire considerably, most of the time they may have an MRE. What they'll try to do is they will try to push up to them a hot meal. They'll try to get the hot meals up to them for that day. And, you know, but the one thing we can't forget, though, is that they are out there. And there's many other people around the world that are out helping, you know, from our United States. And they're helping people. You know, they're non-for-profit organizations that truly are good people out there. They're out there spending their Thanksgivings and their times away from home to help people. So while you're sitting there having all that turkey and dressing and you're thinking and you're watching football and all this, just remember is that we've got some absolutely fabulous, great people that we should be very, very, very proud of that's putting it on the line out there for us, or they're out there helping other people. If you can, if you do that, keep them in your prayers on Thanksgiving. Keep them in your thoughts. They too, you know, are going to be on Thanksgiving Day thinking about you. This is Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We come back, we're going to have another guest on. And at 8 o'clock, Mayor Patrick Jones is going to make a couple announcements about some things that are going to be happening in our fair city. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 7:34 in the morning, November the 24th, the day before Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming and chatting on KCNR1460.com. Linda is down in Sacramento, and at this point, she has detached herself from her girlfriend and is over at her parents' house getting ready for Thanksgiving. Oh, families come rolling in there. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite out on Airport Road. Doug Tooley also is preparing everybody for this holiday season by actually providing Dish TV free. That's right, Dish TV HD. He has rebates, and for the first 2 months, at least, you can get free HD TV Now, this is football, basketball, everything, my friend, so think about it. Doug guarantees his work. He's a local guy, been in the business since 85. Good man. He does our dish satellite, does great work. 244-1988. Call him and ask him about the rebates. I'm not kidding you about this. You can get it free. Our guest who just came slamming through the door, slid to a halt, and put the headphones on. Valerie Engmiller.
Well, hello. Good morning.
How are you, Valerie?
Well, as you can tell, this is not just my regular sexy morning voice. This is my regular sexy morning voice with my first cold of the year.
And for everybody to know is I would not know what Valerie's sexy morning voice sounds like, okay? I just want to make that real clear, especially if Linda's listening to this.
Linda's
screaming.
Out of town.
Yes, yeah, so let's just say...
We just live a few blocks from each other.
In fact, I'm quite surprised. Anyway.
Really, you don't want to get any closer to me.
You're right, because you do have a cold, and we have copious amounts of Kleenex here for you, and it will spray the microphone when you leave.
I think you should.
We will. Okay, there's a lot going on. A big, nice, good article in the Record Searchlight. By the way, if I have not given kudos to Record Searchlight, as I do at times, I like the Record Searchlight. I think a city needs a newspaper, and not just online. I think it needs a newspaper. Anyway, around the world, Christmas Cascade.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Cascade Christmas is in its seventh production this year. It's always been an amazing journey, and this year it's going to be, you know, a journey around the world, as you said a moment ago. Some fantastic new numbers, new costumes, new sets, new lighting. You know, I got to hand it to the Dance Project. They always come up with something fantastic and new every year to make it a fresh, new experience. And they've done that again this year.
And this one, James Santos, and I don't know if everybody knows it, but James Santos has been the driving force behind A Cascade Christmas.
He was the creator of A Cascade Christmas, and he has been leading it as choreographer, head choreographer, of course, and director for these last 7 years. What has changed this year with the Dance Project is that James has finally been recognized worldwide for his amazing achievements that he's done here in Reading, not just with the Dance Project, but also with Kids Unlimited and UPrep. He was my daughter's dance teacher there. Finally, he was able to be lured away from Reading by Cirque du Soleil. I mean, if that is not the biggest feather in your cap. So he's been an assistant artistic director to one of the touring Cirque du Soleil shows for a while, but he's back home. I mean, he had begun Cascade Christmas. They'd cast it. They'd begun rehearsals already before he left to go on the road with Cirque du Soleil. He's back now to put the finishing touches on the show that he started, and so that will be beginning this weekend at the Cascade Theater and next weekend at the Cascade.
Well, if this shows the quality and the capabilities of James Santos.
Yeah.
I've known of James Santos and met him, had the opportunity to meet James and his family, and when I first moved here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what an incredible, incredible performer he is. Yeah. I mean, he is, and then to be selected for his, for the Cirque du Soleil. That's not something they just pick people and just say, okay, try this, you know.
No. Yeah. This is, I think, really celebrating his creativity and his talent. The fact that this is the career goal that he has achieved now with Cirque du Soleil. And that's just the beginning of his career with Cirque du Soleil. You know, it's too soon really to know what is going to be in store next year for James, if he's going to be back. You know, at this point it looks as if his career with Cirque du Soleil may be just taking off, like I said, and he may not be able to direct the show next year. But the fortunate thing is that he has surrounded himself with an amazing group of talented people who've been with him this entire 7 years. Jana Laird, the general manager of the Dance Project, and Marissa Kenevy, and Romney Clements, and Tiffany, and everybody who is helping out in so many ways in this show. They're all still there making it happen, and it's still going to be the most amazing performance. So it'll be really interesting to see how it is this year with the new elements that they've added, plus the fact that James has relied a little bit more on the other players of the Dance Project to help bring the show together while he was out on the road with Cirque du Soleil for a while.
Well, it's going to be a much different show. Yes, they're going to have a traditional Christmas portion in the first act, but then stand by for penguins, Russian bears, pink elephants, ballerinas, and hippo. Or in other words, what Bob sees on the end of a Saturday night. He says, what's new about that?
Bob, I've seen a couple of those hippos myself.
There you go.
That's actually been my new favorite part of the show. That's the animals. The animals were introduced, some of the animals were introduced last year, and this year there's even more. And there's a whole lot of new kids that are involved in the show this year. So I just can't wait.
Okay, now, it begins this Friday, I believe.
Yes, the day after Thanksgiving. We have sold more tickets this year already to a Cascade Christmas than ever before.
Okay.
So far.
Now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, do we have a couple of tickets to give away here?
I don't have any. Well, do you have any to Cascade Christmas? I think you might have some to give away to Cascade Christmas.
Okay. Well, you might. We come back, we're going to do that. So
I've got lots of gifts.
We've got
lots of gifts
too.
Oh, okay. To give away.
All right. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
The holidays are quickly approaching, and Pasciotti Arms is here to provide the finest names and weapons.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It is 34 degrees. It's going to be a nice day. It's going to, I think, going to get up to, like, what, 48 or 50 today, Bob? Something like that. And then tonight it's supposed to be really cold again. So, you know, those plants that made it through last night, you may need to give them a little help tonight. Take the cat, keep it inside, or leave it outside. Bring your dogs inside, though. You know, throw another dog on the bed. What, Bob?
Currently 34 degrees. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyard.
You know what? Great place. You know, lunch. You know, dinners. We're going to be up there Saturday night, and we're not singing, but we're going to be whooping it up. It's the Hills anniversary. We do have.
Yes, we do.
I have a voucher that may be redeemed for two seats for Cascade Christmas, either on the November 26th, 27th, December 3rd, or December 4th.
So there's something like six shows, because there's matinee performances and evening performances.
That's right.
And so that's why I said there's no tickets to give away, but there's a voucher.
Here's the voucher. And the first person who calls 605-4567 gets a voucher for two tickets, about a $32 value. For a Cascade Christmas, it's going to be a holiday dance spectacular. I promise you, you're going to like it. And you get the choices of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 performances.
Eight.
You get a choice of 8 performances and tickets to one of those performances. So, first person to call 605-4567.
It's something I should say. Most of the performances are at like 7:30, I think. But there's one performance, which is on Friday, December 3rd, which is at a little bit of a different time. They usually push the time back a little bit. Is that correct?
Right. Okay. On
at 8 o'clock?
Right. That's at 8. The on November 26th, it's at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
November 27th, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. December 2nd, 7 p.m. December 3rd, 8 p.m. And December 4th, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
We push the time back on Friday, December 3rd for a Cascade Christmas every year, because that's the night that Reading lights the annual Christmas tree downtown. And Viva Downtown, that's an event that Viva Downtown puts on. And as you know, JPR and Viva Downtown are very close. We operate very closely. And I'll be emceeing the lighting of the Christmas tree downtown. So we push back the opening of Cascade Christmas on that one night only, so the people who are attending a Cascade Christmas can go attend the lighting of the Christmas tree before and see some of the great entertainment that is there.
Super.
And there's a little bit of extra added entertainment for a Cascade Christmas with Garrett Vigors, who's a good friend and a wonderful hammer dulcimer player who plays it in a way you've never heard it played before. He'll be performing in the lobby before and during intermission of a Cascade Christmas, and he's got his own Christmas show there on December 8th.
I think Linda's talking about having him on her show, on the spot.
He's an amazing musician. So,
by the way, Jay, you just won two tickets to the Cascade Christmas. You can come down here to our world famous offices and pick them up. They'll be in an envelope with your name. Okay. So we've got the Cascade Christmas. What else?
And we have a question from our chat room.
Okay, what's that? Okay, is Garrison Keillor coming to Reading.
He just did.
He did already.
He
That's
did.
What I thought.
Last month. Well, it was last month, October. No, yeah, I think it was last month. It's all, you know, the right. once September's
I saw
over.
That, I saw that he was coming. And,
yeah, he was here. He was
what,
wonderful.
What are some other big acts that are coming through here, or ones of that people would enjoy?
You know, now I'll tell you, this is a good thing. We've got some really amazing shows. Some shows that haven't really been put out. We didn't really even need to really put them out. But you've probably not seen any ads about it yet. But we've got some really big add-on shows coming in the new year that might be good things to think about for Christmas presents. We've got Bill Cosby is coming to the Cascade Theater. Two shows. That is February 11th. The State of Jefferson.
We like Bill.
We do like Bill. The State of Jefferson Blues. And there are still some tickets left for that. I heard somebody yesterday buying tickets in the box office, so I know there's some tickets left. Not a whole lot, but there are some left. The State of Jefferson Blues Jam is coming January 29th, I think, or 29th. It's a Saturday, with some fantastic talent. The Karen Lovely Band that played at Market Fest this last summer. She is going
lovely.
To be a nationwide success. She is lovely. She's an amazing blues singer. We'll have our own The Blues Rollers. It's going to be an amazing, amazing show with three great acts. And also, Merle Haggard is coming back.
Merle's
coming back for another show in January. It's January the 21st, a Friday night. He's doing a benefit for the Shasta College Culinary Club.
Oh.
And also helping us raise money for our new digital projector that we're trying to get at the Cascade Theater. So,
well, I thought we did a good job the other night.
We did. I mean, these things are very expensive.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a bit of fundraising for that.
Okay.
But yeah, so those are some big shows coming up. But those aren't our Christmas shows. We've got a lot of really awesome Christmas shows.
Okay, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the awesome Christmas shows. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bach. Good morning. 7:53 in the morning. The day before Thanksgiving. It's 34 degrees out there. It's going to be a nice day. It's going to get cold tonight. Even colder. Weather's always brought to you by Ensemble's, our favorite place to go out there and go out to head toward Shingletown where it gets colder. But you know what? You get in there in that wine tasting room, and pretty soon it's warm. It's warm and beautiful. Hey, our guest is Valerie Ing Miller. She is just a mainstay for the things that are happening in town at the Cascade and the Jefferson Public Radio. You've got your finger on the pulse, and as you're coughing yourself, you're coughing your throat out, but
yeah,
you're doing
we
real well.
Yeah, we need to worry about my own pulse.
What else?
Okay,
I know we've got some great Christmas things.
We do have some great Christmas shows besides Cascade Christmas. Once that is over next weekend. Then the Reading City Ballet, they also have an annual show, The Nutcracker, that they'll be bringing to the stage. And, you know, that is kind of one of those shows that is a tradition. It's one of the things that I remember most vividly from my childhood.
Everybody
going to see the ballet.
Everybody should go see that.
Yeah.
Everybody should see that.
It's just a, you know, it's an exquisite kind of, it's like a bonbon.
How big is the Reading Ballet Company?
It's big.
Big?
It's big.
Is it just Reading, or is it like all of North State? I mean,
no, it's Reading.
You know what? Here it is, the Reading Symphony. We've got the Reading Ballet Company. See, that's, for some reason, I'm surprised that we have a ballet company. Other things doesn't surprise me at all. But then every time I hear about something else like this, and I think, you know, that's great. I'm glad. I want to go, you know, we're going to go out and support all these.
Good.
We ain't all redneck entertainment, you know?
Well, we've got...
What about Mule Lip? I like Mule Lip, too. Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I know that the Nutcracker will be on stage at the Cascade Theater December 10th and 11th, and they'll have a children's tea matinee on the 11th where you can meet the characters, the Nutcracker and, you know, the Sugar Plum Fairy and everybody. They'll be there on hand for a wonderful tea that day. Also, coming up on December 12th, the San Francisco Opera in HD. Now, this isn't live opera. This is on the big screen. It's in HD. But it's got, this is La Boheme, so it's one of my favorite operas ever. There's Carmen and there's La Boheme. La Boheme in Paris with the Bohemian artists falling in and out of love. And Romanian superstar soprano Angela Gheorghiu stars and Piatra Bășawa. Try to say that one. From Poland is
wouldn't even try.
Well, it does not sound like it looks. Anyway, that is December 12th, my birthday, at 2 p.m. And then we've got some more great superstar shows that are going to be adding Christmas elements into them. Clint Black is coming to the Cascade on December 14th. The Glenn Miller Orchestra, sans Glenn Miller, of course, but the Glenn Miller Orchestra is still going strong, and they will be there playing all those great swing favorites.
I'm going to that because that was Glenn Miller was my parents' favorite.
Yeah.
And, in fact, when I deploy into different combat zones, different places, I would bring one of those things you could play music on.
Uh-huh.
And so of all the different ones, of all the different types of songs, I would play them from Meatloaf to... You know, Neil Diamond, any of these, there's always Glenn Miller in there because that was my parents' favorite.
It helps you get in the mood.
Yeah, in the mood.
In the mood.
That's right.
Yep. And so they're going to be there on the 16th of December. They have been there before, and they just wowed the audience. It's an amazing, great big band. And then A Celtic Christmas, which has come to the theater for a number of years in a row, they always add in new characters, new performers, some great fiddling and clogging. Really, it's funny because it's such a heartwarming show with a lot of great stories of traditional old Christmases, kind of a family Christmas thing. But it's also very energetic because of that really high energy Celtic dancing and fiddling and music.
Is that like the river dancing type?
Yeah, it is. Tomasheen Foley is a great Irish storyteller and the creator of Celtic Christmas. And so it's sold out many years in a row, so they're back for like their fourth year in a row, I think. And that pretty much wraps it up for all of the Christmas shows that we're bringing to the Cascade Theater this year, but there is a lot.
There's a lot of things to do. So, you know, again, you know, people say, well, there's nothing to do around this town. You know, I can't think of any weekend that I can remember there wasn't something going on in this town since I've been here.
Sometimes I just get overwhelmed with all of the things that are going on in this town. So there are a number of ways to get tickets to all of these great things that we've got coming up at the Cascade Theater. One is to call the box office.
Okay.
243-8787. And another way is to go online to cascadetheater.org. And then another way is, of course, to go in person. Now, the box office opens at 11. They stay open late till 6 or 7 sometimes, depending on if there's a show that evening in the theater. And then, of course, you can continue listening to your radio station to win some tickets, because we've got a few to give away over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and we will be giving those away, and we have no problem ever giving away, you know, tickets and free things. You know, I like giving it away. You know, when we first got into this, I said, you know, I don't know if I want to give away tickets and stuff, but I frankly enjoy it now. You know, people that listen to us, you know, we're able to kind of give them some things that you know, saves them some money out there too. Valerie Ng Miller, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about it. And let this not be the last time. We'll have to have you on again to kind of remind everybody what's going on here in a few weeks.
You bet. I'd love to. Thanks for having me on, even in my illness.
I know. We'll spray the area after you leave. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after the break with Mayor Patrick Jones. We got some announcements to make.
This is KCNR Shasta Reading.
Guests and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:05 on November the 24th. It is 34 degrees today. Dropped down to 29 last night. It's going to be cold tonight. Linda's not here. She is. She has detached herself from her girlfriend and is over at her family, and where Thanksgiving is going to occur. But I'm here with Bad Bob. Good morning, Bad Bob.
And good morning.
How are you doing today?
Excellent. Getting ready to head over to the coast and looking forward to Thanksgiving with friends.
Okay, so I was told that you don't put a frozen turkey into a turkey fryer. It causes explosions.
Well, you have oil just short of the flash point, and then you drop ice crystals into it. It's a bad combination, and you don't overfill the oil container because then it will slop over onto an open flame, which can result
then causes
in
fire and
burning your house down. Yeah.
Okay. See, I wonder what the turkey tastes like, though.
It is excellent, actually, because when you drop it in, it immediately seals the skin. And the oil doesn't get any deeper than that, and it is quite tasty and juicy.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, things are going on this weekend. Again, you know, before we get started with our guest, Mayor Patrick Jones, good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Carl. Thank you for having me.
Isn't this like the last week you're going to be mayor, or do you all hand this thing over?
That is correct. We're going to change shortly, December 7th. Pearl Harbor Day will be my last day.
Well, you know, a day of infamy.
That's it.
And it's also Bad Bob's birthday.
All right.
So people can call in and chat with or send things over. Our phone line's here, 605-4567, or go to KCNR1460 and get on our chat line, as people have done. I'm sure that there's going to be some questions today. You know, one of the things, I'll hold this off toward the end of the show, but Mayor Jones, it's been a tumultuous year.
It's been a long year.
And when we were talking about you coming on here today, it's kind of your last official media event, I think, before you turn over mayor.
Well, you never know. There's a lot of things that happen.
That's true.
But I do appreciate you having me on today and being able to one, thank everybody for reelecting me and continuing our mission to balance the budget at City Hall, and so I appreciate that very much, and very humbled by all the support. We still have a lot of work ahead of us, so the next 4 years will be difficult, but I do think there are some bright spots along the way, and I do look forward to working with the unions and to with our good workers and getting to some brighter days ahead, and I think there is some room for that.
Okay. You know, we're going to take a break a little bit early because we come back and there's some questions I want to ask. I want to get into concerning privatization. And I know there's a couple of announcements you want to make, too. So, Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, right here on the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:11 in the morning on November 24th, the day before Thanksgiving, 605-4567. Or chat with us at KCNR1460.com. Bad Bob.
Looks like today's going to be high near about 50 degrees. Tonight's low again near 29. Not exactly pipe-busting weather, but it should be fairly chilly right now outside the KCNR studios. 34 degrees. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Anselmo Vineyards, the place to go. We're going to be there Saturday night. We're whooping it up with the Hills. It's their anniversary. They've been married, forever. So, hey, our guest is Mayor Patrick Jones, and we've got people on the line. We've got people in the chat room. But first, we want to talk a little bit about the homeless situation and this cold weather.
Yeah, it's been brought to my attention. Quite a few people have called me and emailed me and letting me know about, conditions with the homeless. We're going to have some severe weather in the way of freeze warnings, obviously last night and tonight. And so I'll be checking with the mission today. In fact, I'll be serving. They have their annual Thanksgiving feast going on today. And so depending on what the conditions are with the mission and if they're full up, and if the conditions continue and the temperatures continue to drop, it may be necessary today to open up the National Guard Armory for the homeless. So depending on some of the issues going on today, we'll make that determination a little bit later and then put out a press release. And we'll get people in the homeless community word of this if it is, in fact, necessary. So we're working on that today to see if, in fact, we need to open up the National Guard Armory for homeless. So we're working on that, and we wanted to let people know that we are aware of that, and it is a serious issue. If the temperatures continue to drop, we may need to do that.
Okay, we're going to have, most of the time the homeless and like that aren't listening to or watching TV or reading papers.
That is correct.
But what we're going to do is we're going to get some phone numbers for people to call if, in case, you know, if hey, look, if we want to, if they want to help, or if they've got any, they know some people that are having problems like that. Do you have a phone number with you, or we'll just provide them for them?
Well, yeah, and if they want to call here, and you know, when the city does a press release, we put it out to all the homeless coalitions, if you will, and there's several key spots that get the word out, and so I don't think we'll have trouble in that regard. The question really is this. Ranking, does this come up to that type of threat for the homeless? And so we'll make that determination later today.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Patrick. Well, I tell you what, let's go to the phones. John, good morning. You're on KCNR 1460.
Good morning, Carl. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm fine, John.
And Bad Bob, of course. And Mayor Jones.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to start off by saying thanks for your efforts this year. I know it's how difficult it's been, and I think you've done a terrific job of holding the city in place as best it could.
Thank you.
Now, I have a question for you and a concern. First, in addition to what I just said, I think being out of the mayorship for this next year is going to be very important because I think you'll operate better on a freelance basis.
Well, we hope so.
Now, I'm real concerned about this letter that the city of Reading sent to the governor's Office of Economic Development in regards to the Southwest Paper Company.
I'm familiar with that, yes.
Okay. Pat Keener's been pushing this rather hard, and my concerns are varied. I've talked to Mr. Sugarman on the phone back in Massachusetts, and my initial contact with him, he was very surly and a bit unpleasant, but he called me back and we got into a little bit better conversation. One of the things that concerns me is the only experience he's ever had with a paper company, it went bankrupt. He's listed as a real estate brokerage that he assured me the only reason he's listed that way is so he could get a discount on construction materials for his home. The guy seems to be real flighty, and I'm just wondering what's been done to vet his connections with this and what's going on. How can we push for him getting considerations from the state and giving him considerations from the city when he hasn't even been properly vetted? I mean, this guy's background is so questionable, it's unbelievable.
Well, I'm not, I don't know, nor do I have the details of his background, but I can tell you, and historically, if people have been watching my vote, I have not supported Stillwater in the business park, and I certainly haven't supported giving land away to entice a company to come here. However, the council has made it clear, and they did vote, and it is moving forward. And so I do believe that there is some great concern with what is happening there with the use of public funds, and that in order to entice a company to come to Stillwater today to make it a success, we've had to give away roughly one-third of the park, the best lot, in essence, and some entitlements as well, to a paper company that doesn't have a track record, and to a company that they'll be dealing with that I think will concern the public greatly. And so there's a lot of things to be concerned with. You're absolutely right. I did sign the letter that went forward to the governor. That is one of my duties as mayor. And even though I personally did not support it, council did, and the will of council will prevail on this particular case. That does not mean the public should not look into this deeply, because I think it will affect our community greatly.
Well, I've got to ask, I mean, because it just drives me crazy. Is there nobody doing any vetting of these type of giveaways or anything else? I mean, Pat just seems so hungry to push something through. I'm not talking about you, Patrick. I'm talking about Pat Keener. And get something into Stillwater so that it doesn't represent a total failure and flop on everybody's part. That he's going for anything. This guy needs to be looked into. This company looks into. Don't we have agencies within the city staff to do that?
Well, again, I don't know. I don't have the individual knowledge of how much the city has looked into this particular company. I believe they have the credentials. I believe the people involved with the company have the wherewithal to probably accomplish what they're doing.
I'm not convinced that's true, Patrick.
Right, well, and I'm not 100% convinced of it either, but it appears that they do. And again, I was not in favor of giving away the land. I felt that it's cost the taxpayers dearly to do this park, and that giving away your tax dollars in the way of millions of dollars, in excess of $10 million, is unacceptable to me, only to prove that the park is successful.
Has the offer already been made to them, and have they accepted it?
The offer has been made, and they are in the final stages of confirming that offer today. Now, there are many contingents in that offer and safeguards for the city. If they cannot move forward, it reverts back to the city, and there are some safeguards there. And I believe most of that information, if not already public, will be public shortly. But it is of great concern, and I think you're on the right track. And I feel and have many of the same concerns that you do. And it is frustrating for me because I did not approve this, but council certainly did, and they directed staff to move forward, and that is what staff is doing.
Hey, John, we got to take a break here. Thanks for your question. And, it sounds like there's still some things up in the air about this. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. We've got some questions on the chat room about mediation with the unions, about the unions. We've got other questions. I have a question about privatization and this what exactly happened with the Parks Department. I'm still not too sure what happened there. And then I think there's a couple of the things that you wanted to talk about that will have a significant impact on our city. Carl on the bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It is 8:23 in the morning, 605-4567. We're chatting at KCNR1460.com. Linda is down in Sacramento getting ready for the Thanksgiving repast. Our guest today is Mayor Patrick Jones. And, you know, one of the things that's come up, Patrick, is the privatization question. And we're looking at the city parks. And I'm still not sure about why it went on for, you know, they did all these studies on the parks, or the staff. The city park did a study on themselves to see if they should privatize. And then at the end saying, well, no, we shouldn't. And then when somebody said, well, why don't we at least go out for request for how much it would cost with RFA, something like that.
Proposals.
Yeah,
correct.
Request for proposals. Then they said, well, we don't have the money to do that either. So was this just a giant churning of a staff agency that just in fact said, we don't want to do this, and we're going to throw enough roadblocks up to make sure nobody does this?
Well, unfortunately, those meetings occurred at a time where I was not able to sit on those meetings. We have a committee there, CSAC, for that. And, they took this up to take a look to see if there's any money savings. And, you know, whether it's the parks or whether it's any other department within the city, I think it's our job as council to constantly overview things and take a look at things. And, you know, sometimes it's taken as a sign of disrespect to our city workers when we look at things to save money and possibly eliminating those entire departments for privatization. And it's not meant to be. It's not meant to be disrespectful to our city workers, but we've got an obligation to balance our budget. And as you know, we've had to cut out $25 million of ongoing general fund shortfalls. And so that is the area that we're going to be looking into, general fund spending, and ways to still create high-quality service and spend less money. And I really think there's room in the Parks Department to be able to do that. It's very important who you have on the committees to really dig hard, to really question staff. Obviously, staff likes the what we're currently doing today. That does not mean that there aren't opportunities within each department to save money and possibly to privatize. And so I'm going to still push in that direction.
Well, I just don't understand. You've got the organization that's going to have to privatize and cut people out of the organization doing the study. And then at the end of it, when they say, well, look, why don't we just go out and see if we can do it? Oh, well, we can't do that either. I mean,
well,
it was just a waste of time. You know, I hate waste of time.
I agree. The idea was a sound idea, to go out and look and to see if we can save money, and I would 100% back that up. The question is, when you have staff looking into that same, I think you probably answered your own question, and you're probably correct.
Anyway. Okay, he looked from the chat room. Would federal or state mediators be in order when you're mediating with the unions?
Well, I think we, the city council, can manage our budget better than the state and the federal government can right now. We are living within our means today, and we are balanced, and we have a very small reserve. And we've had to cut out $25 million of ongoing spending, and we did that. It was not easy. It was tough, and that's what made this last year so tough, is that we did not spend monies we did not have. The state and federal government have not done that. These are issues, and what's been tough over the last 4 or 5 months, these are issues that we will work through. In fact, we have just created a committee where me and the Vice Mayor MacArthur will sit down with union representatives, and we'll sit down with all the union representatives. We're very happy and willing to do that, and so that we're talking to guys like Lonnie Schreiber, president of Reading Firefighters Association, local 1934, Brad LaCroix, Peace Officers Association, Steve Allen, as well, Scott Mayberry, Ray Thomas, and others from SEIU. And so we're...
And they've all been on the show for the most part.
Right,
and Scott Mayberry is going to be coming on, but we're going to be talking police matters about that. But now, this committee, and we've only got a couple minutes, and I wanted to take it down to the half hour on these things, because in the next half hour... there's some important things happening here.
Absolutely.
We're going to be talking about. But this committee of the union reps and you and Missy, what do you expect to do with this?
We're trying to come to, we're not negotiating essentially in a sense. I wouldn't mind it, trust me, but we have a whole council that ultimately does that. We'd like to sit down in a civil way to see if there's some areas that we can agree upon. Identify the areas that we can't agree upon and move forward in a constructive manner. And I think that's the goal of the committee, is to find out, let the unions kind of see a side of us maybe they haven't seen before, and for us to sit down with the unions and let them know, you know, that we're serious about balancing the budget. I think they know that. That we're trying to retain as many people and employees, because we value our city employees greatly. But when we're $25 million short, we're going to have to make some changes. And I believe the areas that we have identified to make those changes are the correct areas to adjust. And we need to get that through in a constructive manner. And that, I think that's the goal of the committee.
Well, if the committee can start afresh, if that's the right term, and start working together on how to do this, what's the best way so that, one, the community is supported, which is number one, and then we support the employees of the community. Also, if we can, if you all can work that out and get a good start on that, then, you know, I think this is a great idea.
I think it can work, you know, and I think it can certainly help better define the union's position and better define our goals as well.
Okay, and is the public ever going to be invited to this, or is this just going to be all?
We're working out the details now. I suspect, because it's kind of labor issues, that they will not. But the details will be worked out.
Well, I'd like to be able to see, have the public there at least a couple, maybe even the beginning, so that we will know, you know, what you all are planning on doing and everything. And I think on the initial meeting that could be...
It's possible. I think most likely that doing something like this in closed session, we can be more free with each other without the scrutiny of the public, possibly. I'm not opposed to having public meetings.
I'm just saying on the first one, so everybody gets an idea, hey, look, we're all here together to work this out.
I agree.
That would be that kind of thing. And after that, then, yeah, I realize that there's going to be a thumb stuck in people's eyes. And
well, it's just...
Figuratively. Hey, we got to take a break here. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567. We're chatting on KCNR 1460. It's 8:34 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Right off Athens Avenue, I was in there yesterday. It was packed. Men, boys. A woman walked in. She was having her boy's haircut. It's man's last stronghold, my friends. DC Tim and the Man in Black. Great haircuts, great prices. They shave around your ears, down on your neck, with a razor. Now, who else does that? And if you're a veteran, you get a discount. That's Cypress Square Barbershop. Great guys, you know, great haircuts. Veterans get discounts. They support the community. What a great place to go. So, our guest today Mayor Patrick Jones. Okay, Patrick, we've got the time to do this. You're getting ready to talk about some things that are going to happen here.
Well, a couple months back, I did ask the unrepresented unit at the city, which is our top management, to start paying their 7% CalPERS employee share to kind of set the example, to lead by example, and that if we were going to make these types of changes throughout the entire city, that it should start at the top and flow down from there. Council did not approve that, and we said let's wait until after the election to see what the outcome of Measure A and B was. So here we are. The election is over. Measure A and B has passed very, very well, and it's certainly the will of the people now to be able to take a look at those two issues. And Measure A had to do with employees paying their per share, which is 7% for non-public safety, 9% for public safety. And, of course, Measure B had to do with the post-retirement health care. Instead of the city paying that 50% premium for the rest of your life, that we have a new system that's vested, and you get, after 5 years of working for the city rating, you get 2%. So I am now on December 7th in closed session, because these, again, are labor issues. We'll call upon council again to take a vote to do just that. And not only will we take a look at top management paying the 7% towards CalPERS, but also Measure B, we will do that as well with regards to the post-retirement health care issue.
So what's that mean as significant as money saved?
I think it will be a significant amount. I have not done the totals yet. By the 7th, by December 7th, I should have a pretty good idea of what the amount of money that we're talking about in savings. And these are the exact kinds of things that we need to be doing moving forward. We still have an unknown future, fiscally speaking. And, I think this starts at the top and moves its way down. And the public has given us a good mandate to be able to do this. And, so again, it's not something I look forward to, that it's fun. It certainly isn't. We have some, excellent managers within the city of Reading. But the fact of the matter is we have to start reducing our spending. And this starts it at the top. And I think then this helps us with the other unions, the rank and file workers, that if management has done it, that they would be more willing to do so. So that's my plan.
Okay, so this is going to be on the agenda then for next Tuesday?
It's on December 7th is our next council meeting, so not next week, but the following week.
Okay.
And I have put that on the agenda, and it'll, of course, it's a labor topic, so it'll be done in closed session. And I know people have issues with closed session, but I can tell you as mayor, I've been very, very strong about open and transparent government. And if anybody knows me, knows that I've pushed hard for that. But certainly things regarding labor negotiations are best done in closed session, and that's just the fact of the matter. And if anybody's done any negotiations, they know that is the way to get things solved and problems worked out. And if we do everything in open concerning negotiations, people stop talking. And we need people to start talking more so that we can work through the issues. And it's just the process, and it works best that way.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Bruce.
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Question for Pat. Thanks a ton, Pat, for going through all the rough times trying to help out the city of Reading. And I know that's tough duty running for any office.
Thank you.
Especially when this contentious as this one was. But is it going to be, are they going to bring up the retirement age? Because I think this is ridiculous about these retirement ages.
We will have to. There's no question about it. For public safety here in the city of Reading, we have that 3% at 50, meaning that you had to retire with 3% of your last year's salary at the age of 50. And moving forward, that is one of the key areas that will be looked at. I don't know what the formula will eventually be. But it'll be something different and something less than the 3% at 50 for public safety. And those are the things that we need to discuss and work out, and we need to put a money totals to them so that we can see exactly how much we're saving and then what kind of staffing we can get back. For example, if we went to a 2% at 50, it would still be an excellent retirement system, still one of the best in the country. And immediately our community service officers could come back. those are the kinds of things that I'd like to start talking about. And we will soon. Of course, we have one of the main police groups up for negotiation come March. And I know that will be talked about. So it's an excellent question, and thank you, Bruce.
Okay, we got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our guest is Mayor Patrick Jones. When we come back, we're going to be discussing changes to the retirement system right here at the top management, which should be able to save jobs and perhaps firehouses.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, Carl and Linda Bott. Time's 8:43. This portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellite right on Airport Road. Doug Tooley, 244-1988, is offering rebates during this season where you can get free HD satellite TV. Free, that's right, because of the rebates he's given, and in just in time for the holidays and all the big games and all that. So give him a call, 244-1988. Local guy, been in the business since 1985, Doug Tooley, 244-1988. Our guest is Mayor Patrick Jones, and Patrick agreed to be on the show before he found out Linda was going to be in Sacramento. That's okay. You can still talk about things important to the city.
You know, Carl, this morning was a great morning. It was definitely cold, but I get up. It's a brisk day. It's nice, and, you know, everything was perfect. I get to work early, and then when 7 o'clock rolls around, I turn on to 1460, and there's Carl talking about Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars. You know what? Even after, as I was halfway through it, I realized what a huge mistake that was. So, okay, going back to the... I promise, Britney Spears will never be talked about her. Patrick, on this year, I mean, it has been, as we've said already, it's been a contentious year. What do you see about next year? I mean, now the elections are over. A and B were passed by a whopping majority. It wasn't like a squeaker. Even though that we have now a new member to the city council.
Yes.
That, you know, that the unions backed, Francie Sullivan.
Well, and I'd like to congratulate Francie, as I already have done. She ran a good race, and, you know, in all races, people are going to win or lose, and you have to accept that. She ran a very solid race, and she beat good candidates and former mayors, and she ran a good campaign, so she deserves to take that seat, and I think she will do a very good job representing the people that voted for her, just like Mary Stagel. Outgoing former mayor Mary Stagel represented the people that voted for her, and so I see good things coming from Francie, and she's earned that. She worked hard, and for those people that didn't make it, you know, there's always next time, and I know it's not fun to lose. I've lost twice myself early on, and no fun to lose, and this was definitely the hardest race that I have run, and
this was a tough, you know what, I tell you what, it was having every one of the candidates on several times. You could see, you know, from the beginning, how tension was ramping up there, and especially, you know, in the last few days. Again, you had 10 people that was running for three positions, and I personally applaud every one of them for getting into the fight.
Well, now that we have Measure A and B passing, now the work begins, and that is an excellent mandate by the people to the council, and it'll be interesting moving forward to see how council members look at that.
Well, do you expect the council? I mean, it can't be any clearer. I mean, whether you agree or not with A and B, it couldn't be any clearer how the people in this city feel about it. Do you expect the council to respect the will of the people?
You know, for me, absolutely. I mean, they've spoken loud and clear. That was the whole intent, to see how people really felt about these two issues. And they felt strongly, and it also reinforces what we've been trying to do, the majority of council members at City Hall. And so I would expect that from the council. But each person, obviously, is their own person. I can't speak for other council members, but I know for myself, this is very clear now, and that we are moving in the right direction, and we just have to carry on and continue on. And I know the next few years, as we continue to move forward in an unknown economy, where we have to be very careful with our spending, are still going to be tough years. These are not going to be easy years.
Yeah, the median price of the house, homes in Reading dropped to an all-time low, at least for a seven-year low. You know, here's the other thing, too, is I'm very, very happy to see is that before you get to the police and fire, that you're starting at ones that are making the most money in this town. And, you know, and people do get paid at those levels. A very good salary here. I'm glad to see that you're starting at that point. I would really like everyone... I would really like to see every agency within our city really have a fine-tooth comb, go through it and glean through it and see what we could do to combine jobs, or, you know, and see what's really important before,
you know,
we get down to our...
And the reality is that I didn't start with management. I started with myself first. And it starts with myself, and I have not accepted any of the benefits from the city of Reading from the day that I got there. And during this term as well, I will not accept any. I will accept the base pay, which is $7,000 a year total, and no other benefits that would equate to about $18,000 a year. So I started with myself, and now I've asked top management to tighten up a little bit by the 7%, and then we move from there. We must stop spending monies that aren't going to be there. We're going to live within our means. The public has asked us to do so, and we're going to carry on and continue to do so. And, you know, we will be professional and respectful. We do have excellent city workers. I can't say that enough. But we have to change our spending habits. And many, many hundreds of cities throughout California are having to do the very same thing.
Throughout the United States. Let's go to the phone. Mark.
Yeah.
Mark, you're on KCNR.
Thanks. Quick question for Mayor Jones. I've got to take my answer off here because I'm driving.
Okay.
I read recently that a board member of CalPERS projected that because of the pension fund's investment losses and lower expected returns, that the rates that cities and counties will pay, have to pay to CalPERS, could rise as much as 55% over the next 3 years. And I'm wondering what impact that could have on Reading. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark, for your question.
Well, thank you, Mark. And, of course, Mark, as you know, you can't believe everything that you read. I read your columns every once in a while. but the reality is that those expectations may or may not come true. But we are preparing to having to spend more money in that area. And that is very unfortunate and very alarming, to say the least. It is why we have to change our spending habits today and prepare for a tougher economy moving forward. And that could equate to a $2 or $3 million shortfall per year in the general fund. And it's why we're looking at all these other areas. And we are obligated to pick up that slack when those investments do not come through.
Well, if that does happen. Really with the economy, everything everybody's saying about the economy, we can't look forward to any type of little sunlight coming down. We're going to be looking at cuts continuously, aren't we?
Well, I don't know. If we can handle and get a handle around some of these core issues, post-retirement health care, CalPERS contributions, and the retirement ages, if we can get our hands around those issues and create something more sustainable, then I think we can hold off essential layoffs, which is our goal. We want people working. And in fact, I think if we manage it correctly, we can actually get a few more employees back working. And so I don't think it's as bad as it sounds, but we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Well, next week we're going to have representatives from some of our unions of firefighters and a couple others. Now that the election's over, you know, to talk about what their vision is also here. We got to take a break now. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Mayor Patrick Jones. We're talking about big changes here with the upper management and ways of saving money. Join us after these messages.
Back down. No, I won't.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567. Chat with us at KCNR 1460. It's going to be a cold night tonight. Weather's always brought to you by, down in the 20s, weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. It's a good place to go to, lunches, dinners, weekends. There's particularly a lot of fun out there. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Great place. Finest walk-in humidor in the state. It's Espresso Joe's. They've got great coffee. You can buy all those holiday coffee, you know, makes that you want and the different ways to make coffee, the French presses, the espresso machines, and they're going to show you how to use them there. Plus the fact that Joe and Shelley support this community in so many ways. I mean, in so many ways. The veterans and other community events, great Americans. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. And hey, by the way, you go in there now, you can donate to different causes that will build schools for kids, the whole thing. So stop by and see them. Guest Mayor Patrick Jones. Mayor, we've got like 4 minutes left.
Yes.
So question comes up about Oasis. Anything new about Oasis? Or?
Well, we're continuing on with the loop on ramp so that we can create better circulation, better traffic circulation, and improved safety, which will allow people living in Gold Hills, Terra Oaks, off of Bear Mountain Road, new subdivisions that are proposed, Seven Bridges, for example, to be able to have the proper safety to make that interchange. It's still, the interchange itself, the overpass, is not going to be improved. We have no funds for that. But we did use our American Reinvestment Act funds on this project in order to get that loop. And, you know, so we have made improvements. Those improvements will finish up here in the next few months, depending on the weather. And we'll have some improved traffic circulation. That's all that's happening. That might allow for some retail development along I-5, which would be greatly needed here in the city of Reading.
Okay. Hey, okay, Patrick, big announcement today, of course, then, is that you're going in, you're asking the council to vote for all top management to pay their CalPERS and their health.
That is correct.
And that's going to happen on December 7th.
With the 7% towards paying 7% towards their employee share of the CalPERS, and going to a vested system where you earn your post-retirement health care. And the more you work for the city of Reading, the more you earn up to 50% paid, and you earn it. It's a vested system. Other cities use it. That's important because we got ourselves into an $85 million unfunded liability over that. That must change. We can't continue to head down that road. It's unsustainable. And those things for top management will be discussed by council on December 7th with or possibly without reportable action. We will see how that goes.
Okay. And the other thing about the committee that's going to have the unions and yourself and the new mayor, Missy MacArthur, formed, and that you all will be discussing how to best move us forward.
Well, I think that the goal here is, you know, we have these issues so that each side understands each other so that we can move forward in a constructive manner and find out exactly what areas are willing to move on and what areas are not. And I think it's a good opportunity to start moving forward after a very tough election.
Okay. Hey, our guest has been Mayor Patrick Jones. And thanks a lot for coming on, Patrick. A lot of big announcements today, that's for sure. Again, if for the homeless and to get to shelters, make sure you just call the Good News Rescue Mission, call down to the City Hall, and they will have information about that to help people find a place that's warm tonight. We want everybody, we are going to have Best Of tomorrow and Friday so we can get our people off for Thanksgiving. And remember those people that are out on the front lines, on the walls, those men and women that are spending their Thanksgiving far, far away from us. You know, give a thought to that. Give a thought to them. Thought to those people that are out there helping other people. You know, they may even be here in the States, but they're out on these holidays helping other people that are less fortunate, but especially our warriors, our deployed warriors that are out there during this time frame. Linda and I'll be back, of course, Monday morning with our regular shows. I hope that everybody, and we hope that everybody has just a great Thanksgiving, and it's a time to maybe give a lot of thought to what's going on about yourself and what you're doing and what you can do to help other people. Bad Bob?
Sir.
We'll be seeing you, Bad Bob. Have a great Thanksgiving.
We'll see you on Monday, and a happy Thanksgiving to one and all.
Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.